Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Now, I think this is going on the third year that I have chosen the subject of divine healing. And I say I have chosen, I believe by the will of God, have chosen to teach on divine healing so that we can face what's coming. I don't know what your opinion of all the things that have gone on the earth is, but there are some things you can't deny. You know, COVID came and it's here. Amen? And the possibility of something else either occurring or being released or whatever they say about it really doesn't matter. Amen? If it shows up, we better be ready for it. I said, if it shows up, we better be ready for it. And not ready like the world is, ready like the church should be. To take authority over it, to stand against it, and also not to be manipulated by it. Amen? I want to be led by the Holy Ghost, not by some disease. Glory to God. Now, you know, what's amazing is, it seems like there are times in which God's hand moves upon the earth, and healing, how can I say this? It's not that healing is any more or less at any time upon the earth since Jesus rose from the dead and declared in Matthew chapter 16 that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick. Amen? So, you know, through all the years, the church, it seems like, has gone through these like waves of healing revivals. You know, many of the revivals, two different things exclamate revival. One is people being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's the number one thing. When people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost in mass, getting filled with the Holy Ghost in service, that's the move of God. That's God. That's just the way it was in the book of Acts. And divine healing, divine health. Now, it's been approximately 20 years. Some of you aren't even that old. But it's been approximately 20 years since we've been at one of those peaks up there around the top, in which it just seemed like every church we went to. You know, let me just kind of paint this picture for you. When I was in Bible school in 1984, you know, that was a long time ago, Lakewood Church had 4,000 old rickety chairs that probably cost Pastor Osteen $1 a piece. And they were really bad. I mean, they were metal seat, metal back, and very rickety, you know. 4,000 of them, that's a lot of them. And they'd fill up every service, and there'd be maybe 1,000 people standing around on the aisles. That's every service. Now, every service, just as we do, that's where I got it from, was from the format of the service at Lakewood Church that Pastor John Osteen used to have in ministering to the Lord, amen, and then ministering to people. And so that's why we do it the way we do. But without exception, every service, there would be anywhere from 200 to 500 to as many as 1,000 people every service that would come up for that time of ministry. The first time I ever was asked to minister healing, it was on a Wednesday night, and I'd say maybe 200 to 250 people had come up around the altar. The only one there praying for people was Pastor Doty. Pastor John, he wouldn't do it. He just kind of let Pastor Doty do it. That was kind of her ministry. And so she was on that side, which I sat on, and she just kind of parted the crowd right there, stepped through. I was sitting on the first row. She said, "Rusty, you get up here and help me, because you're going to be doing this the rest of your life." So, man, I was a young Bible school student. I jumped up there, went up there, and I'll never forget the first guy I reached over to lay hands on. I reached up to lay hands on him. He was going like this. Amen. But I didn't let it persuade me at all. I just laid hands on everybody up there, you know. And then we begin to see tremendous manifestations of healing in our ministry for many years through the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry of laying on of hands. Now, I've made this statement before, but it bears repeating to help us stay in that vein, in that mode, in that mindset of healing. You know, Paul said over there in the book of Acts, he said, "I think myself happy." Well, I've kind of amplified that. I think myself happy. I think myself prosperous. I think myself healed. I think myself full of joy. You know what I mean? You need to begin constantly renewing your mind with healing scriptures. They should roll in your mind at the first inkling of a symptom. There should be an automatic shifting into a gear of healing scriptures just rolling through your mind. Then as they roll through your mind, when you get opportunity, they begin to come out of your mouth. You begin to speak them. Now, I've made this statement many times. It bears repeating. Back in that day, there were healing evangelists that God very much anointed. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, Brother Oral Roberts, even some men that were younger, maybe the next generation. Brother Benny Hinn had a powerful anointing upon him. And there were others that many of you might not have known, but they had just as powerful of anointings and just as powerful of a healing ministry. Brother Ed Dufresne, people like that. I mean, just powerful healing ministries. So we coined this phrase back in that day because we all were teaching faith. You could come to Brother Hagin's meeting and you might or you might not get healed. You could go to Benny Hinn's meeting and you might or you might not get healed. You could go to T.L. Osborne's meeting and you might not get healed. Or you could go to, some other, you might or you might not. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you may be called out by a word of knowledge, ministered to, and symptoms leave your body. You may be called up in a prayer. And you know, I had that happen to me many times. Brother Hagin, he called out people that had problems with their throat. I'd been having problems with my throat since I'd been in the ministry. I'd been in the ministry about 10 years. I walked up there. He called everybody Doc. I walked up there. He says, is that you, Doc? I said, yes, sir. He put his hands on my throat like this. Next thing I know, I was looking up at the lights. Hadn't had problems like that since then. You say, why? I received it through the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry of laying on of hands. It's a gift. I said, it's a gift. And when gifts are flowing, it flows not as I will, but as the Spirit of God wills. I don't understand all the dynamics of that, but those types of meetings, you could or you could not be here. I mean, if you live back in the days of the Voice of Healing, you could have gone to a Jack Cole meeting. You could have gone to a William Branham meeting. There are several of those ministers back there that had outstanding. I asked Brother Hagin one time about Jack Cole. He said, I never saw in my life a man that had more of the working of miracles in his ministry than Jack Cole did. He said it was one of the most amazing phenomena. He said many people that had been disfigured by polio were instantaneously healed. And we all have heard the testimony of, you know, they're in A.A. Allen's meeting. R.W. Shambach, another famous evangelist, had many, many healings in his meeting, told that great testimony of that baby, that little 4.5-year-old baby that didn't even have a sex, didn't even have an identity, whose eyes were literally closed, literally was deaf, was blind, was mute, had every kind of deformity, and God totally healed and restored that baby. Well, that was by the power of God. Move of the Spirit, power of the Holy Ghost. You may or may not get healed in a meeting like that. But the good news is there is a sure thing. Peter said it like this. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Now let me tell you what he was talking about when he said that. He was talking about being up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't know if any of us have been in a meeting like that. Amen. Where Jesus shows up. Where Moses and who was it, Elijah show up and all this stuff is happening and all this power is manifested. I don't think any of us have been in a meeting like that, amen? But you've got to understand, Peter, in looking back at that experience, said, yeah, that was awesome. That was a great experience. I got goosebumps all over my body. My hair stood straight up. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. What was he talking about? He was talking about that very power that was on that Mount of Transfiguration is the power that's in that word right there. So when it comes to the Word of God, you want a sure thing? When it comes to healing, get into the Word of God. Get into the Word. It's like any other thing you want in the redemptive package. Plant it and grow it. Plant it and grow it. Get the confession of healing. Begin to speak every day over your body. Begin to thank God that you're healed. And any symptom that comes into your body, you resist it with the Word of God and tell it no. I don't belong to you in the name of Jesus. Now, I said this morning. I thought it was relevant to tonight about how Jesus was the manifestation of God when it came to His compassion and His power. You know, Jesus' first encounter with somebody that was infirmed and sick was with a leper there in Matthew chapter 8. You can turn over there if you want to, Matthew chapter 8. Now, isn't it amazing that we have no recorded miracles, no recorded ministry, no recorded manifestations of power in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? Until after his 30th birthday, until after he's baptized in the Jordan and receives the Holy Ghost in baptismal measure. But he got it without measure. because he's the only one that's qualified. Two, you say what? It's his spirit. Why would God give a measure of his spirit back to him? No, he gave him full measure of his spirit. Now, that's still, isn't that amazing? Now listen, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that Jesus had the full anointing of the Holy Ghost, the full creative anointing of the Holy Ghost, and still people doubted him. The Bible said in his own hometown he could do no mighty works, lest he laid his hand on a few sick folk. Actually, one translation says, at least he laid his hand on a few people with minor ailments. Amen? That's because doubt and unbelief stops the power of God every time. Now, here, look at Matthew 8, verse 1. When he, or Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, now notice, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst makest me clean. Now that every person that's, I guarantee you, you go to every room at UTMB. Amen? Look up at Houston, all that vast medical center. People flying from all over the world. I guarantee you, every person that has been diagnosed, every person that is facing a major disease, every person that right now is in fear and panic because they've sat across from a doctor's desk and been given a diagnosis, every one of them wonders if God will heal them. They have a question in them. Most of them doubt it. Why? Why would mankind doubt the healing power of God? Because of guilt. Well, I don't deserve that. I had a friend, a pastor friend. He was a Baptist, and then he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it kind of ruined him for being a Baptist. And he became a radical, amen? And his mother remained a good, godly woman, prayed for him all, you know, when he was a heathen, prayed for him, knew the Lord, was born again without exception. But when it came to healing, she didn't have the information she needed. Cancer attacked her body. Now, he began to minister to his mother and talk to her about how good God was and how God could heal her and how God could do this and God could do that. And you know what her response was? Her response was, son, I understand that and I believe God can do anything. But you have to understand, there was a time in my life in which I was not a very good person and I have to pay for that. He couldn't convince her. Did you know that's a lie? Somebody already paid for that. Somebody already paid for that. You don't have to pay for that. And a lot of people, they're just like that leper. They hear the reputation of Jesus. They hear what he did in the Bible. They may even hear testimonies of what he's done, you know, in the healing revival or in someone's meeting here or somebody else that got healed. Something that happened, the power of God was released or manifested. But listen, you got to understand, people still have a question. You are I said this about you this morning. You are a very unique group of people in that the information that you have is limited information that very few people have. Most of the generation that we taught the Word of God to has died. They're gone. Amen? That's why we're so enthused about a new generation of people rising up in the Word and in the Spirit. You say, why? So they can take this healing power to their generation. Because the devil's doing everything he can do to try to destroy us. Amen? Now this question lingered, even in Jesus' day. I'm sure people had talked about who he was, but this leper, I know you can do it. How many people believe God can do it, but that's not the question that needs to be answered. It's will he do it for me? Now redemptive revelation removes all that doubt by imparting an understanding of not will he do it for me, but he's already done it for me. That's where faith takes hold. Not trying to get God to do something, but recognizing what he's already done. And what he's already done, he did not package in a gift to be opened and used from time to time. No, he put it in a package that changed your identity from a human being subject to sickness to a new creature who can overcome any disease. Come on, church. That's how you got to see yourself, or every little disease that comes down the road is going to get on you and beat you up. So this leper asked the question, I know if thou wilt, thou canst makest me clean. Notice verse 3. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, now notice these two words, you ought to underline them in your Bible. I will. Glory to God. He's revealing the will of God. I will. Never doubt the will of God for him to manifest healing in your body. Amen. But we're not living in the day of the gospel. That Jesus that walked on the earth is not ministering on the earth like this any longer. He's ministering through us and through his people. And the greatest ministry is not a spiritual gift or the laying on of hands. The greatest ministry is the teaching of the word that teaches you up out of sickness and disease and establishes divine health in your body. Can I get a better amen? And church, we better be busy about that in the days ahead. Amen? Now, notice, go to, I marked so many scriptures, I just want to use a couple. Go ahead, go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Now, we see there in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's healing power. But what's awesome is, here in Acts chapter 8, we see God use a man after Jesus had been risen from the dead and gone back to heaven, and his anointing was available for men and women to walk in. We see a man that got anointed by the Holy Ghost in the office of an evangelist. And as an evangelist, what do evangelists do? Well, they got to go look for a place to preach. So he went down to Samaria. Now notice what it says here. It says in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Amen. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Which who did? Which Philip did. Which Philip did. God had anointed him. Now, we can go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, he's saying this. Peter is speaking this word in Cornelius' house. He's arrived there supernaturally. By supernatural direction of God, he arrives at Cornelius' house and says, how God, speaking of Jesus, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But in Acts chapter 8, we see someone other than Jesus. Now we know that Peter and John did that miracle at the gate beautiful. Amen? But this type of thing in which healing en masse begins to break out, we've not seen that except in Jerusalem. The Bible says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So they're flowing in the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem. They're doing their thing in even the ushers are anointed. Even the children, the ushers like Stephen could raise the dead, lay hands on the sick, do signs, wonders, and miracles. Much less the ministry that was going on amongst the apostles. But they were kind of cocooned. They were kind of getting spiritually fat hanging around there. But then all of a sudden things begin to happen. There begin to be a breaking out and a breaking loose. There begin to become persecution from Rome upon Jerusalem. The disciples were persecuted heavily by the Sanhedrin, by the Levitical court. They were persecuted heavily and began to scatter. And Peter went down to Samaria and did what? Preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Now notice this. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies. We know that palsies are that which creates a crippled condition. Amen. A withered hand or a crippled arm, withered legs, feet, things like that. That's what palsy is. Amen. And them that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Of course there was. But notice it didn't say anything about any blind. No lepers were healed. You say, what do you mean? Where the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was unlimited. ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was unlimited. The ministry of man is limited. I've known God uses us in particular ways of ministering to people. Other ministers we've known, God uses them in particular ways. It's amazing how Jesus got the anointing with full measure, but we got it in a measure. That's why it's so important for us to come together. Because we bring those measures together. Now, all of this scripture that we're looking at in Acts chapter 8, that which we looked at over in Jesus' ministry, this was all the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to the crowd, to the people, whether it be the corporate body or whether that he was raising up out of Samaria. Amen? But we have to understand, church, as much as God wants you saved, he also wants you healed, because it was all wrapped into the price that he paid for redemption. So that brings the question, Pastor, is that the problem? Do we need to wait for an outpouring? Do we need to wait to come to the top or to the crest of the top of a move of God to see healing in such a way or in such a manner? Here's why I say no. Because every church and every ministry that had a healing revival in it, when there was no healing move upon the earth, did it by the word of God. The first one being John G. Lake in Spokane, Washington, with his healing rooms and healing ministers. They had over 5,000 documented miracles in a year and were declared the most healthiest city in the world because of the power of God. That was back in before World War I. I mean, people came from all over the country to be healed there in Spokane, Washington. You know how they did it? By the word of God. They trained people to sit with people and read them the word. Read them the word. Now, let me say this. If you live back in John G. Lake's day and you went to his church, you could get healed. I wouldn't put it, you may or may not. You say, you think everybody got healed? I don't think so. Because not everybody gets everything. I wish everybody would get saved, but not everybody will. I wish everybody would get healed and delivered, but not everybody will. I wish everybody would prosper, but not everybody will. Whosoever will, it's your choice, whosoever will. Whosoever will, it's got to be up to you. So in this day, in this age, the best thing that you can do as a believer is not to seek out a healing meeting somewhere. It's to seek the Word of God. Now, let me just say this. That confession that we make over healing, I think we've printed it, I don't know how many times we've printed it in different formats, things like that. But I was making that confession the other day and became very aware of the anointing. I think God does not allow us many times to really feel tangibly what's going on in us, even when we're speaking the Word of God, because if we do, it overwhelms us. Amen. When that veil gets thin between the spirit and the natural realm, I'm going to tell you what gives. The natural realm. We first came into ministry, it was a big thing. A lot of people, you know, everybody wanted people to fall down in their meetings. They thought, boy, if more people fall, the more anointed I am. Well, that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I found that out real quick, amen. We don't want to do parlor tricks around here. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost is moving, you can have every usher on the planet. I'm not going to hold you up. If God wants you down, amen, ain't no usher going to hold you up. And I've seen the power of God in manifestation where ushers could not catch the people, where people were being shot up under the seats in the auditorium, where people are flying around and God's nailing them to the walls. Listen, the anointing, when it breaks loose, has an unlimited measure to do all kinds of supernatural things. But the Word of God working in the unseen, in your soulish realm, as you speak the Word and stand upon it, listen, it works in your body. Based on your willingness to believe it in your heart, confess it in your mouth, and release it into your body. Amen. So let's just, as we close on our healing teaching tonight, let's do this little exercise. Many times what we do is we just parrot something. Now there's a difference between a minor bird and a parrot. You know what a minor bird is. Minor bird is like a tape recorder. Now, we had a parrot for 12 years, Snoopy. Now, that parrot could pick up words, language, phrases, but whether or not he really ever understood what he was saying, we kind of figured probably not. And, you know, a lot of people go through, even making confession. their mind wanders. Amen. A lot of times that happens because it's coming up out of your memory and not out of your heart. But the confession of the Word of God is designed to get the Word of God out of your head and into your heart. That's how it makes the journey from your head to your heart, is through your own confession. People get all kinds of, well, that's that confession message, and I don't like that confession. Isn't it amazing? Nobody ever criticizes something that does not get results. They only criticize things that get results. Religious people, I'm saying. Amen? I mean, I remember preaching in Ireland one time, and when I finished preaching, I said, now, do I need to receive a rosary offering? You better know it's the Holy Ghost when you say that in a nation like Ireland. Because I was preaching on the dead works. I wasn't mentioning any religion, but I was preaching on dead works, how dead works get you nothing. You can rub every bead, you can wave every feather, you can light every candle, you can stand on your head, you can wear a tall hat, you can do whatever you want to do, but ain't nothing going to get you to God but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in confession, let it drop into your heart. How do you do that? You know how to do that. Your confession helps it to drop into your heart. And you've got to pay attention to what you're saying. We say it every Sunday when we pray with people getting right with God. Let your own ears hear what your mouth is saying. Let your own ears hear what your mouth is saying. We're used to letting our ears listen to what our mouth is saying. But you've got to hear it. So we start with the scriptures in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are the healed of God. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Listen, people talk about our healing not being of God. Wounded for our transgression, individual acts of sin. Bruised for our iniquity, the motivation that moved into man through Satan's deception. Iniquity moved in, but Jesus was bruised. Trespass, outward wound. Iniquity, inward bruise. The chastisement of our peace, there's your soul. The way you think, your mind, your emotions, your will. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. And if you study that in Isaiah, you see it is in the present tense. Not the past or the future. It's in the present tense. You say, why would it be in the present tense? Because he's not the God of tomorrow and he's not the God of yesterday. He is the God of now. He is the I am of now. Amen. Amen. So as you speak that word, if you have meditated on that word, you can feel that you can literally sense that word beginning to be loosed in you. The awareness, thank you, Father. You were wounded for my transgression. Just think for a minute how many times you sinned. Don't go back and try to relive it. Amen. But just think how many times, for every sin, Jesus has already made provision. Not only to cleanse you of that sin, remove its effect, and remove the motivation. Amen. But to restore you to a place with God that mankind lost way back in the garden. Something you had nothing to do with. And you get restored back to family status with God. He was wounded for my transgression. Bruised, the chastisement of my peace. How he was chastised. Having to look the Sanhedrin in the face. Knowing that he was the Word of God that made them who they were. He was the fire by night, the cloud by day. He was the serpent that was raised up over those that had been bitten by the poisonous snakes. Amen? He was the fourth man in the fire. He was the captain of the host of the Lord standing against Jericho. He is the Word of God. So when you say, Jesus, I worship you, for you were wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace was upon you, and by your stripes I am the healed of God. When you hear that and speak that and hear that and speak that and hear that and speak that, preacher years ago coined the phrase, You create a spiritual dynamo working in you, like a spiritual engine, building faith in your heart, building confidence in the Word of God, and giving you revelation of the reality of Jesus not only being your Savior, but being your healer, and you're as much healed as you are saved. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Then there are other scriptures. I mean, I like if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in. Think about the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Think, you say, well, they've divvied it up so many ways, there's nothing left. That's crazy. You can't think of it like that. It is not a material of this world. It is a spiritual material of God. And what He does, He gives you a little piece of it, and your whole life you grow the glory of that in your life. And the kingdom of God gets bigger and bigger and stronger in you, in the church you're in. Everywhere you go, you're affecting people for Jesus. Wow. Same Spirit. Think about that. All of the sin of all of the people, of all of the generations that Jesus died for. All of the iniquity of all of the people, of all of the generations that Jesus died for. All of the sickness and disease, all of the addiction, affliction, perversion, every ill and every wrong that the human family was in bondage to, that came upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah says it like this: when I looked at Him, I couldn't tell He was a human being. He was in such agony. Nobody ever died a death like Jesus, because nobody ever walked the earth that was like Jesus, weighted with our sin. I'll tell you, when Christopher, what was it, last year, year before last, we had him preach 3 days just on Jesus, and he preached that last night on the cross. Oh, my goodness. When he painted that picture of Jesus covered with the spit of man, covered with His own blood, covered with the filth of the street, walking to Golgotha's hill to die for you and I. And upon that cross, gathering and accumulating every wretched thing in the spirit realm that was wrong with man and humanity, bringing it upon Himself, and then crying out to the Father, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Do you know the answer to that? Do you know the answer to that? Why have You forsaken Me? Because of you. Because of me. It was our sin, not His. Our sickness, not His. And He went down into the regions of this earth, the regions of the damned. And for 3 days and 3 nights, Satan held high carnival in downtown eternity. And then all of a sudden, that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead manifested in the most furthest place you can get from God, the place of eternal punishment and eternal separation from God. Mankind had his greatest spiritual experience. Say, so what? How about Israel? We're fixing to receive communion. The Passover. Communion comes from the Passover. The Passover is a type of salvation delivered out of Egypt, brought into a promised land. Promised land is not heaven, church. Promised land is all the redemptive promises God gives us in Christ. He wants you living in the promised land here. He wants you living in heaven up there. Heaven up there. Amen. All of those, everything that Jesus, oh my goodness, my goodness. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, glory, man, the anointing of God is here. Lift your hands and worship God. Where's Brother Frank? There he is. Lift your hands and worship Him. Lift your hands and worship Him. Now we're coming back, yes. We're coming back. We're going up. I see it, Lord. We're going up. We're fixing to come up to a peak of healing. You know, before the healing revival, there was a father and son ministry team in Houston that just thought, we'll just have revival. We'll just go ahead and have revival. Nobody else is having revival. I guess we'll just go ahead and have revival. That was the Ritchie family, Raymond T. Ritchie, Jr. and Sr. They held a parade in Houston that ran 30-something blocks of trucks and cars full of back braces, beds. They had those old iron lungs back then, hearing aids, canes. God's power moved in such a powerful way. You say, why? Because they sought God. They sought God. See, people don't think, well, why should we come pray on Thursday night? Why should we come pray before these services? Because we're seeking God, church. It doesn't come any other way. It doesn't come any other way. I wondered, when I was at Lakewood, I used to freak out because the anointing was so strong there. I'd walk on the parking lot, I'd be so strong. And I used to pray and say, God, what is the secret to all this? And I would come to church because I would have to get up like at 5 o'clock. School started at 8, and I had to be at school on time. Amen. And so I would try to, because I had to go through Houston, you know, you would go up I-10, I mean, go up 45 to I-10, go around to Dockle, when they were on Dockle, way back in Northeast Houston. And so I was a 55-minute drive for me every morning, 55 minutes there, 55 minutes back. I never missed a class and got an attendance for a award, for amen. But every day when I see these people, there'd be about four or five of them, and they'd be walking, and they'd go to a little room, shut the door. And it took me about 6 weeks to figure out, those people pray. Those people pray. So I went in there. I started getting up at 4:30 so I could get there and go pray with those people. And then the first day I went, I kind of walked in. And one of the little ladies said, come on in, honey. We're just praying. But I'm going to tell you what. I found out where the power was coming from. That was moving. What God was doing in that church is coming out of that prayer room. Because people were interceding, praying. Sure, the pastor prayed. Sure, his wife prayed. Sure, the staff prayed. But there were other people in the church that were praying and interceding. And they were not trying, they were not doing it on their own for the, well, I need healing. No, they were doing it for others, praying for others that they would be healed, that they would be touched by. That's the best way to get your own healing. Amen. So your confession of faith. Thank you, Jesus. You were wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace, by your stripes, I'm healed. I've been confessing this. The Lord adds to my confession. I started adding. I used to always say, thank you, Father, you bless my bread and water. You take all sickness from the midst of me. But you know, Paul wrote to us and said, our food is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And Jesus said to us, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. So everybody's freaking about what they're putting in the food, putting in the water, this and that. But if we pray that scripture, we should just have faith. We shouldn't worry about anything. Anything that's in there bad, God just nullifies it in our body, nullifies it in our life. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then over our mental state, God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. Say a sound mind. Now you need to speak. See, you need to say that, Father, I thank you. You've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. You need to tell the devil, devil, you're not going to make me crazy. Amen. See, the Bible says that God will garrison your mind with His Word. That means He'll build a wall around your mind with His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ sets us free from the law of sin and death. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into His kingdom of His dear Son. Wow. No evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh our dwelling. Angels have charge over us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No plague or pandemic formed against us shall prosper. I've been hearing all this stuff about this plague is coming, and this plague is coming, and this plague is coming, and this, well, I got something better than any plague they can throw at us, and that's the name of Jesus. The power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I tell you, we beat up on COVID around here. I say we have. I've had several people, yeah, it tried to come on me. I just ran it off. Yeah, that's right. That needs to be your attitude. Oh, be careful what you say, brother. A devil will hear. He'll just strike you down. Quit thinking about the devil. My God, how are you going to walk in faith thinking about the devil? Amen? Who cares what the devil thinks? Just be amazed by how many people do. The way they talk, they must care what the devil thinks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we speak to sickness and disease in this room. Injury, pain, discomfort. We speak to what doctors call life diseases. Arthritis and diabetes, asthma. Others with conditions that they have been told will have to be treated throughout the rest of their life. But Father, we recognize a price that was paid. We recognize an authority that has been given. We recognize a name that is above every other. And Father, we submit to a spirit that knows no limitations. We declare every disease that can hear our voice tonight, we declare you are defeated. We declare you cannot function and operate in the bodies of God's people. We speak to all of the diseases and say you are evicted from the temple of the Holy Ghost and cannot find a place of habitation in the bodies of God's children. Father, we declare divine health over Island Church. We stand against the pandemics and the epidemics that the demonic world system would try to release upon the people. For we know these are the last days and these are perilous times. But our faith is in our God. You said, in Him we shall do exploits. In Him we shall have the preeminence. So Father, I thank You, every person in here tonight, a seed of healing in them is growing stronger. We fertilize it, we water it, and we thank You that You, Lord, give the increase. We thank You that testimonies of all of these diseases we have called out and the ones we haven't called out, Father, we thank You, we'll begin to get reports. They're gone. It's not there. It's not functioning in my body any longer. Speak to it. Say unto it, you shall not operate. Release the authority that I have given you. Do not allow it to operate in your body. And when symptoms rise up, laugh. Laugh in their face and declare over them, you are a defeated foe in my life. You shall see God's healing power rise up a new standard in your life. The power of the Holy Ghost raise up a new level of health, and divine healing and health become the standard of how you walk and live upon the earth. Fear not that which is coming. Fear not that which is here. Fear not that which has been. For my Spirit is upon you, and my grace covers you in these last days. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift your hands and believe you receive. Lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's do that for a minute. Then we'll change the order. Do you believe in the tangibility of the anointing? I do. We've laid hands on many prayer cloths. I've had several awesome testimonies of hands. I believe the anointing can get in the cloth of these chairs. I believe it can get in the cloth of this. Okay. You believe that? Well, let's just think about some of the people who've walked back and forth up here with a healing anointing. How about Christopher Alam with that healing anointing on him? How about Pastor Mark Brzee, who people from all over the world, when they get diagnosed with cancer, they try to get to Pastor Mark because he has a special endowment from God to get people healed of cancer. What about Brother Eddie Turner, who has an anointing on him to get your mind fixed, get your mind straightened out, to remove the oppression of doubt and fear and all those different demons that torment people? How about Danny Johnson and Greg Fritz? Amen. And Joe Morris. These aren't people that have come one or two times. These are people that have year after year after year after year after year after year after year have spoken. How about Paul and Shoddy Chase? Come on, church. These are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What about Egan Falk? Come on. What kind of anointing is on these men? What kind of anointing is on them? Healing anointing is upon them. The healing power of God is upon them. Healing power of God is in this church. Is in this church through the Word and through the tangibility of the anointing of God. For the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. The Lord just spoke to me and said, say this, that many of you sitting here tonight, God is going to touch your heart and touch your life with a healing anointing in the days ahead. And God is going to use you powerfully in the healing ministry. Amen. Now, I would lay hands on you right now and just declare that over you, but it's not time. It's not time. But it will soon be time. Papa Nenese Bikala Hastoro Koroti Cheleninda. Bambala Tastabrendebe Hele Sisala Hagele Nesto Briki Lai. For you have been in an extended time of preparation, which is soon coming to an end. Prepare yourself for that which I will do in your life and through your life. For many are crying out now, crying out, Lord, send someone. Send someone with the anointing. Send someone with the knowledge. Send someone that walks in that power, and I will send you. So prepare yourself and prepare your heart. Begin to pour yourself into the healing reality of my word and begin to pray in my spirit, and I guarantee you I'll stir healing anointings in you that will cause many to be set free and many to realize that the power and anointing of God is real in this day and hour like never, ever before. Glory to God. Lift your hands and receive that. Lift your hands and receive that. Whoo, glory to God. Let that anointing come on you. Yeah, don't resist that. You know, God used a woman in the healing revival. So many people opposed her. Thank God for the love walk of people that just loved God and loved people and didn't let criticism destroy them. They hated her. They called her a witch. Her name was Catherine Kuhlman. She never declared she was an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. She said, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. But I read her book. She said the Lord came to her with that ministry, held it to her in his hands, and said to her, five men have rejected this ministry. Will you take it? And she hesitated for a moment, and Jesus looked at her and said, it will cost you everything, but it will bless the multitudes. She said, I'll take it. A year later, her husband divorced her. Didn't look like anybody wanted her to preach. She was an oddity. What business does a woman have in the pulpit? But up in Pittsburgh, the Spirit of God began to move in a little meeting up there. And there were some nurses, many nurses. I would say many. I say like 25, 30 nurses that had gotten into the drugs of the hospital and gotten addicted. And they cried out to God. In that meeting, they were instantly delivered. And God started something right there in that meeting that swept all over the world through her ministry. I was in two of her meetings. Alan's been in her meetings. I mean, you walk in the door and the anointing of God almost knock you over. Thank God for those visitations. Thank God for those giftings. But none of that's over. That glory of those meetings, she never took credit. She never said it was her ministry. She never, ever. Amen? We serve the same God. We have the same faith. I like what Pastor John Osteen said. That was her day. This is ours. That was her day. This is ours. Amen? Hallelujah. I feel healed. Glory to God. I just sense healing. I just sense healing. Amen? In your Bibles, turn, if you will, quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the scripture we run to real quick. And I really like staying in 1 Corinthians. I was tempted to go over and teach on the Passover, but let me read this part of it. First of all, let me do this. Does everybody have the receptacle that you need? Everybody, if you do not, lift your hands and the ushers will bring you one real quick. Anybody? Praise God. Everybody good? And everybody, listen, everybody here born again, you're invited to receive communion with us here at Island Church. Amen? Praise God. Now, let me read this part and then we'll come back and read the part and receive communion together. Verse 28 says, this is in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 28 says, but let a man or a woman examine themselves. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself. Now notice this term, not discerning the Lord's body. Amen? Now let me just say this. A lot of people have come and gone through here over the years. And I don't really mind if you beat me up. That's no problem. But when you beat up the church, I have a problem with that. You say, why is that? Because you're beating on Jesus. When Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He didn't say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He didn't say, who are you? He didn't say, why persecutest the church? He said, why persecutest thou me? Jesus took it personal, that which Paul was doing, and called it the church. Amen? So don't get sideways with a church. or with the church. You say, why? It's not good for your health. Notice, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many die prematurely. Now here's the key. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I was asked to talk to some ministers here recently, past couple of days. Needed some encouragement, needed some direction, knew a little bit about their stories, but kind of depended on the Holy Ghost. And as I begin to contemplate the situation, this is how I counsel. Because they wanted to fight. They want to fight. They were offended. They're hurt. These are major staff people of major ministries. And they want to fight. And I said this. I said, you know what you need to do? You need to become as meek as a mouse. And everywhere there's offense, you need to initiate healing. Don't wait for somebody. Don't you dare. I said this on the phone. I said, don't you dare hold some offense and let it rot on the inside of you waiting for somebody to come make it right. No, you initiate that. And if they reject you, then you're okay. I said, you're okay. You initiate it. You say, let's get this thing right. Let's make this right. If they say, then you're okay. Amen. And I said this. You've got to judge every situation that you're in right now that's causing agitation, friction in a church staff or in a business. You don't want friction. That's going to burn everything up. You've got to judge that thing, and you cannot judge the other person involved. You've got to judge yourself. And that judgment has to be God's judgment from His Word. Amen. Why do you do that? So you will not be condemned with the world, or so that your situation will not go the course that the world sends it. The outcome of the world. Well, they ended up leaving the church. Well, they ended up divorced. Well, they ended up this. They ended up that. Well, so, of course. What do you think is going to happen when you get away from God, away from His grace, and out from under the umbrella? But He gives us all of these wonder. Just judge yourself. Amen. Not why did so-and-so make me mad? Why did so-and-so offend me? Why am I offended? Why am I upset? Amen. Many times we think we have the right to be, and that just throws us into victim mentality. We're having communion. We're having communion. Jesus spoke to the Apostle Paul, said, tell him. This is the reason. He didn't tell that to Peter and John. He said, tell them, this is the reason in the church they're not getting healed. This is the reason the cancer took them out. This is the reason the COVID took them out. This is the reason is because there's something in their life that they're not willing to address, that they're not willing to be aggressive towards to get right. You cannot afford to allow anything in your life to be a hindrance to the flow of God's power, especially coming into your body. Well, if I humble myself, they win. Who cares? Who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? It really doesn't matter. It's better to just be at peace, to know that you're walking in love toward all. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, you don't know what they did to me. And if I can do it, you can. Amen. That's going to help keep you full of joy. Where were we? No, you weren't with us. Yeah, you were. We had gotten into Norman, Oklahoma last Monday night. Man, it was cold. Good night. And so we were checking in our rooms. We came in, and there's this kid there from India. And he is smoking. And so I didn't say anything, you know. And he couldn't be nicer. Everything. And he says, anything you want? He says, Mr. Martin, I'm going to put you up on the third floor. There's not going to be anybody around you. I mean, doing all, and just not. So I was standing back. Kenny and some of the other guys were getting in their room. And I just stood back and I watched him. And then he came around to give me my key, you know. And I said, I just see Jesus all over you, buddy. You're just soaking with it. And he just said, I love you. I was just so blessed. This guy was waiting and serving and smiling, full of the joy of God, full of the Holy Ghost. I talked to him a little bit. That whole group that runs that hotel there, they're from India, and they're all just full of the Holy Ghost. So that morning I walked down, he says, you know who we are? I said, no, I don't. He said, my last name is Patel. I said, we know who you are. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the power. It was just awesome. And I did sleep good there. Amen. I slept really good. That's different from hotels you go into where you got to play a recording for 3 hours to get the devil out of your room. Hallelujah. What are we doing? Taking communion. All right, here we go. Verse 17, now in this I declare unto you. Now let's go down to verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, everybody say the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Now if you will, carefully take the host out of the top. I never understood. I heard it so many times. Brother Hagin used to say it a lot. He'd say, now let that drop down into your spirit. I never understood that. He'd say, now let that drop down into your spirit. He'd say, now let that drop down. You know what he was saying? He was saying, go beyond listening to that. Let that drop down into your spirit. Go beyond just hear that. You say, what's the difference? Well, I've noticed many of the things, even when I preach something and it becomes a revelation to me, I notice there's usually a time on my way out the building, usually it's when I get in my truck, I'm by myself, it'll come back up. And I'll just start meditating on it, thinking about it, let it roll in my mind. So this scripture, think about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said he had prepared a body for Jesus. And upon his body, I mean, the beating he took and the abuse he suffered, yet not one bone was broken. But his body was broken. You understand that? His bones were not broken, but his body was broken. They broke him down, man. They broke him down. And in so doing, two things. Number one, the acclimation of sin, iniquity, sickness, addiction, whatever it is. Amen? The acclimation of that, but the total defeat of it when he died. So that broken body, now listen to me, not only delivers us from the power of the devil, but it delivers us from what that power produces. Amen? And I like to say it like this, the devil only has the power over you that you give him. So this is like a double guarantee in your mind, in your heart, in your finances, in your physical health, in your marriage, in your family, amen? Or your faith. My faith in the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God used that to break the power of the devil over my life. Devil, you cannot control my life. You cannot have me. You cannot torment my thoughts. You cannot bring these temptations to me. In the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior's body was broken so I could be free from this in Jesus' name. See, when that comes up out of your spirit, you're fixing to find freedom. Father, we thank you. What love, what compassion that you bestowed upon us through the work of the Lord Jesus, in great honor of the Lord Jesus, and in recognition of the significance of that broken body, we receive the bread this evening. Man, oh wow, that's right, cool. How about this? After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. Notice this, in my blood. Everybody say, in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So I've always touted the necessity for meditation. So I came in Saturday and was doing some work in my office. I thought, you know, I'm just going to take a little time, chill out a little bit. I'm going to start meditating. And all of a sudden, I begin to meditate on the blood. Hebrews chapter 9, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, entered he once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. And I begin to do it, and all of a sudden, I get these little mini visions, just this flash, and two words. Most precious, most rare. That the blood of Jesus is the most precious material in the universe. The most valuable. Amen. And it's the most rare. It's the blood of God. The blood of God has been poured upon the mercy seat of God for you. And no matter what's going on in your life, you say, Pastor, I ain't got the faith to get out of this. You need to cry out for the mercy of God and say, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. You say, why, Pastor? Because that blood's on the mercy seat. And that blood is not all scabby and dried up. And No. It's as fresh and as glistening and as beautiful as the day it was poured on there, as red as the day it was poured on there. For in that blood, there's no death. There's only life. Most rare, most precious, most rare. Open very carefully, if you will, the cup. Heavenly Father. The human family didn't even know what blood was back in that day. But you did. You said there's life in the blood. And that life you put in his blood, oh my, 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 my. And tonight, in honor of that blood, in recognition of its significance and power, we receive of the cup in Jesus' name. Praise God. Lift your hands in worship for just a moment. Lift your hands in worship him. Father, we worship you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now, if you can discreetly put your hand on any growth, anything in your skin that you may think is suspect or subject, I'm going to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Every growth, any skin condition, anything right now counter to the Word of God and His provision, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. These men and women in faith laying hands upon themselves, I thank you, Heavenly Father, the anointing breaks the yoke. And those whatever they are, disappear in the name of Jesus, not to return, not to come back. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I speak to an ear trying to go deaf, slowly fading, slowly fading. In the name of Jesus, I declare that which has gone toward the negative stops and begins to move toward the positive, that you will hear better and better and better till you hear correctly. Yeah, that's true, Lord. In their eyes, yes. Oh, yes. Don't give up on your eyes. Don't declare you're old and can't see. No, speak the word. Speak the word. See what it'll do. See what it'll do. See who you'll be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yeah. Have you ever jammed your finger? Somebody's had a bad jam in a finger or a digit. And it seems like it's something that's that's pretty bad. Pops every morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, and anybody else, if you've had a bad jam, something that, you know, it's just that joint's not what it should be, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Well, we went a little over time, but that's all right. How many brought an offering? I hope you remembered that tonight is our 2 Corinthians chapter 9 offering. And I tell you one thing, I made my check out real quick because I just went on a trip that needed a lot of grace. And everything I needed grace for, I got. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, being sufficient in all things, may abound unto every good work. God is able to make. Some of you guys need grace at school. Thank God. God will give you grace at school. You may need grace in a job. You may need grace in a business. You may need grace in a ministry. You may need grace in a marriage. You may need grace for children. God, God is able to make all grace abound. Hallelujah. So that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may be able to abound unto every good work. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Hold up your offering. Say it out loud. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're able. You're able to make all grace abound toward me, that I will be sufficient and able to support every good work in Jesus' name. I receive it. I receive it. I receive that grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand on your feet. Praise God. We'll pray and be dismissed. You can bring your offerings up. And then I believe they have food in the back. Food in the back. Food in the back. Glory to God. Thank God for food in the back. Amen. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Lord, we just sense your presence, your power, your anointing. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, Father, for times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, for outpourings of your healing. Lord, as we leave tonight, thank you for protection and safety during the week. Thank you as we travel the highways, the airways, the seaways, the railways, or any other way of travel or transportation, we are protected and kept. Thank you for the righteous labor of our hands. Thank you, Lord, whether we be contractors, whether we be teachers, whether we be working an office somewhere, or no matter what we do, we cancel every assignment of the devil and declare no tragedy, no trauma. We surround our schools with faith and love. We declare over every school a presence from heaven, stopping anything of the devil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the anointing in us that abides, the unction, that we would be sensitive during the week to the people that we're around, that we might be an answer to their prayer, a problem to the devil, and a miracle in their life. Lord, as we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We walk in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. And we leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Ghost. God.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.